Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Elevate the Future Podcast. If you think that kids are waiting for the adults to get it together, you better listen up. A variety of hosts will moderate conversations to provide young students with the resources to realize their passions early and apply them in their community. We can and must create a world where students worldwide have access to quality education in business and computer science. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to our first episode of Elevate the Future. Today, we have a very special guest, Mr. Ali Mustafa. Mr. Ali is a Google Certified Educator Level 1 and 2, and he manages the Google Cloud Developers Community Mumbai as a co-organizer. Ali is also the lead ambassador for IEEE Collaboratech and is also an advisory member for the platform. In addition to that, he is also known for speaking at TED and has impacted over 100,000 students by influencing them for the cause of making Indian solutions and supporting their regional languages in India. So welcome, Ali.
Hello, thank you for the nice introduction. Welcome very much, everyone.
Awesome. So along with me, I also have my co-host here, Ellen Xu.
Hi guys, thank you so much for being here, Ali. So one thing to start us off, how do you see machine learning and future generations changing the world? So just wondering where you see us in a few years and where you envision machine learning going in the future?
Yeah, so machine learning is something which you know people kind of have two opinions about. One is the hype. So people majorly are like, you know, it is a hype, or it is just like, you know, it is not something which is for real. There are still kind of people who don't believe that it would change a lot in the industry and so on. And then there are other kind of people who are too overwhelmed by it. They are like, okay, machine learning is the only technology which will survive and everything else will kind of, you know, go away. And then everyone, you know, literally everyone should learn machine learning. Now, my opinion falls in between both of them. Because machine learning is the part of the product. So whenever you talk about machine learning applications, most of the machine learning applications are part of the product. It is part and parcel of the product. But the complete product takes a lot of effort to build. And it has a lot of different aspects of computer science other than machine learning. So if you have a brilliant system, it will use, you know, a part as machine learning. For example, in Gmail, you know, your spam classifier is a part. But again, sending the email, receiving the email, making sure everything works is a major part. And that is the, you know, a major part you can say in software engineering as well. When you go far and you try to solve untraditional problems, like for example, the language problem in India, what happens is we have many languages, like so many languages, and each language has a different dialect as well. So the way you pronounce it, the way it means, even if the location changes, the meaning of the complete sentence changes. So with all this, you know, uncertainty, like machine learning becomes very prominent here, and where you can actually make solutions which can solve for billions and millions of people. And if you're pursuing machine learning, you know, today, then you are in an age where, you know, it is not something new. At the same time, people have been doing it for time. So you need to be really good at it. Okay, so if you are not, you know, kind of good at it, then definitely you will again fall in the trap where you learn something, but you don't get a job for it. Okay, still the survey says that there are like around 80,000 machine learning engineers across the globe. And there are space for more, obviously. And but there are space for people. So if you see the online course completion, there are tons of people who have taken the InReveNGish course. And there are tons of people who have taken other machine learning courses, but they are not into the industry. They are not working full-time as a machine learning engineer. And the only reason for that is, you know, understanding where it is applicable and, you know, going through the flow, making sure that you implement projects and you don't just learn about it. You kind of, you know, go there and kind of implement it. So, yeah, if you're learning machine learning today, make sure you are doing, you know, good amount of projects you are having a mentor, you are looking at the people who are already in the industry. You're following Jan, you're following, you know, Lex Bregman's podcast, where he talks about a lot about, you know, he talks a lot about machine learning and similar technologies. And as far as the advancement in machine learning is considered, you know, there are new concepts every now and then coming. And these concepts are here to live. And with data coming in at the pace which is coming today, definitely you are going to need, you know, big tools and systems which can process this data and give you analytics, intelligence on top of that. So it's going nowhere for 10, 15 years. So yeah, if you are investing your time in learning machine learning, that would be a good choice, but make sure you're better at it.
Yeah, I love how you talked about how machine learning is part of the solution and how students can, if they are willing to invest a lot of time into learning this, how they can possibly go into this in the future. So one thing that I have a question about, and I would love to hear from you, is where do you see these types of futuristic solutions? So 20 or maybe 30 years from now, what are some new things that you see machine learning coming up in, and how can students become a part of this?
So I'm pretty sure in 20, 30 years of time, machine learning will be definitely be a very good, you know, high end. We would be seeing applications which we never imagined could exist. And same with, you know, if you go 200, 500 years back and you're like, yeah, I have a mobile phone which has a camera and it can kind of, you know, call people across the world, and people will be like, you know, scared. Okay, what is this device which this guy is carrying and so on. Yeah. But if you see, if you go in the future, you know, that's how things would look like, because at the pace which the research is going on and everyone is investing their time. So every big company you see, they have an AI arm. Okay. Like Facebook has an AI arm, Google has an AI arm, Apple has an AI arm, and they are extensively investing in and researching and kind of developing systems. You know, OpenGPT is just one of the example, like how, you know, how advanced things are getting. But if you are, so there are two aspects to look at it. One as a software engineer and one as a researcher. Now, if you are interested more into the research part, then definitely, you know, you need to be very good at maths, stats, and, you know, the core tech. And if you are into research, then you can definitely read research papers and you can kind of, you know, get into it and then try to do different things which are currently very popular. And if you see the history of LSTM, right, like if you see the history, it was like first rejected and then it was accepted. Okay, so most of the things are, you know, kind of with a similar context. But if you have an innovative idea where you want to apply research and you want to see that machine learning could do this after, you know, 20 years, 30 years, I could be the one who could be, you know, kind of fostering the research and so on and so forth. The second aspect is to look at as a software engineer. So if you are a software engineer and you look at machine learning, then it is basically cloud goes hand in hand with machine learning most of the times. Why is it? Is because the data is not small. So if the data is big, then you by default use cloud technologies which to handle the data. So as a software engineer, if you kind of, you know, look 20 years, 30 years into deep, you will be like, okay, I'm not just, you know, working with machine learning. I'm also working with cloud technologies to make sure that I handle that amount of data and I'm doing it at scale. Okay. So I want to make sure that, you know, people who don't even, you know, have knowledge of machine learning, but they have huge data, they should be able to kind of, you know, build systems which are very easily accessible and are perfect to their use case. Currently, this system exists, but they are kind of, you know, very early in their phase. So you can say that, for example, Google has its AutoML system, Azure has its AutoML system, but they are not, you know, so powerful that you can say it can handle any data. But down the line, if you see, you know, 20 years, 30 years down the line, definitely the systems will be powerful. And then they will be replacing the data scientists who are not so good in solving this kind of problems. So you need to be prepared for that, okay? And you need to make sure that, you know, you are kind of aligned with the industry, where the industry is going. Because most of the people, they promote, you know, non-coding or just drag and drop stuff. So where, what it will do is it will kind of replace the your, you know, your kind of coding work with someone who just know how to operate this stuff and developing the equivalent systems, which you might be developing using your code and et cetera. So you need to see the flow in the industry and then go accordingly, because that is very much necessary. There was also a challenge, I guess, recently where we talked about if you are developing a research paper after 10 years, you know, how implementable that is. Because if you see in today's world, what all algorithms which we are using, you know, in 2020, they were developed in 2010, they were developed in 1990s and, you know, 2000s. So if we are using that algorithms which were developed so back now very well, okay, and implementing systems on it. So if you are developing something now, you know, after 10, 20 years, you will be seeing them actually live in practice, live in software and so on and so forth. So yeah.
Yeah, I love how you gave two perspectives on how you can think of it from a software engineer's view or think of it from more of an innovative standpoint and always thinking forward to see where the trends are going to go and where your research today can be used 10, 20, even 30 years from now. So I think that was really interesting. And taking a little step back, I'm wondering, how did you get into machine learning and where were your first steps into this field?
My machine learning journey is very interesting. Because so actually I didn't follow the traditional path of education. So what I did was I did 10th standard, and after 10th standard, usually in India, what we do is 11th, 12th, and then we give an entrance and then go into technology. But what I did was after completing 10th standard, I actually took undergrad course, a diploma course, and then I completed that for 3 years, and then I did the undergraduate information technology. So actually I had good hold on technology way before than others in my, you know, peer group were. And when I was in diploma, like in second year, I was going around in meetups and I was going around in community. And I was like exploring different options. And I like, you know, exploring new horizons. Like I am very, if you keep me in a room, I will definitely go around 10 times looking for something. And I came across machine learning. When I came across machine learning, that was very new concept. A large number of crowd didn't know what it is. And at the same time, it was like students were totally unaware of this concept, like majorly in my peers. If I asked anyone, no one knew about it. So then I decided to learn this because I was like, okay, this is going to separate me from the actual crowd in my class. And I started going to conferences. I started learning stuff. And the first course I did was Andrew Ng's course. I understood that, you know, that content is way too high level for Indian students. And for my peers, they don't understand, you know, ABC of it. So I need to kind of make something which is very much, you know, easy to understand and people are able to grab it. And that's how I started in 2017, where I kind of, you know, made some slides and I experimented. And I was just learning, exploring my options. But because no one knew anything, so I was the option available. So they would just call me. They would be like, okay, in our contact, who we know? We know a guy who is kind of delivering something. So let's call him up and then, you know, let's kind of get started.
Wow. That was a lot of information. But for someone like me, who's especially not that far deep into the technological industry, how would you define machine learning? Let's try to take a step back and look at it from a broader perspective. How would you go about defining that for especially someone like me?
Yeah, so a very small, like this is available on my YouTube though, but I use two examples specifically. The first example which I use is a crying child, okay? So if you see a crying child, what do you observe? Like, what is your conclusion right away? Your conclusion is...
He's unhappy.
He's unhappy. And then you will be like, if you guess two or three things more about him, like, for example, why he might be unhappy, like.
He doesn't have his chocolate.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
so he doesn't have his chocolate. He doesn't have his mom. Or maybe he has, you know, he's wet and he wants some cleaning up and so on and so forth. So what you just did was you kind of, you know, saw a crying child and you kind of drew patterns that if a child is crying, then this, you know, conditions or this were the situations which made him cry. Okay, you actually put your brain to work and then you came up with this concept. Now, if you look at the child, you know, as a child, if you look from his perspective, okay, the example is very simple. You go to a mall, okay, and you see a toy as a child. And then you see that toy and then you're like, I want this toy. Now, the next step you know that you cannot just, you know, take that and run away. You need some money, you need someone to buy you that stuff. So now you are like, your mom, hello, you know, I want this toy. And your mom is like, okay, we are not getting you this. Then the next step, which comes in the process, is you will be like, as a child, you'll be like, okay, what are my options? My options are to cry, nothing else. Okay. So you will start crying that I want this, I want this right now. Mom is again, you know, I don't want to buy you, you know, so sorry, I'm not going to do this. And then he again evaluates his option, and then he's like, the final opportunity which I have is I will sit down on the floor and I'll embarrass her a bit again. So that some people around notice, and then she's like, okay, you know, he's not getting up, he's embarrassing me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and buy this stuff so that he just, you know, keep quiet. Because now it is not more about the car, it is more about, you know, the reputation out there in front of people. And then you as a child got fulfilled, you know, you got your kind of PlayStation or your toy. And what you learned in the process was, if you cry, then definitely, you know, you can get things done. And if you sit down and cry, then that's the ultimate weapon. No one can kind of, you know, go beyond that. Yeah. But as you grew up to, you know, 16, 17, 20 years old, now if you go to in a mall again with your mom, will you do the same stuff?
For sure not.
Yeah, because now you have an understanding that, you know, when you grew up at a point, you did that for a lot of time, right? You did that for ice cream shops as well. You did that for a lot of time. But once you started not getting fulfilled from that action, then you moved on to second part. You were like, okay, now crying doesn't work. So what works? Okay, I score A grades. You know, I score straight A's and you give me my cycle. Okay. Or I do this and then you give me that. Okay. And then that option eradicated, and then you started earning money. So now you can directly go out there and you can buy it yourself. So you don't need kind of, you know, the middleman in between. So you are like, now I have the money, I can go and I buy it. Okay. So right, the process of you learning this, okay, that from being understanding that crying only helps to understanding that money helps. Okay. And the process of learning all that through data points where you saw, you learned, and then you implemented. And you saw, you learned, you implemented, okay? And then at the end of the day, you yourself, you know, did machine learning so much that, you know, you yourself is an example, a living example of how machine would learn something, because they would also follow the same process. They would see the data points, they would make a decision, and then they would kind of, you know, move with that decision. If it doesn't work out, it will consider the feedback and then improve the algorithm in that way that next time, you know, it kind of considers that and then takes a decision. And so on and so forth.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, so just to clarify a bit, because what I was getting off of this was artificial intelligence, right? That was the big thing that popped up in my head. So it is artificial intelligence who is doing the process of machine learning. So machine learning would then be a process that artificial intelligences, or even us as humans, go through.
Yeah. So when we talk about AI and ML, okay, so usually you'll see a lot of people interchanging the words, okay, and AI, ML, DL. So what happens is AI is a superset. So if you look at something, you're like, okay, you know, this is AI, okay? For example, if you kind of look at AGI, or you look at how AI is represented in the society, like in terms of movies, it is something who is super intelligent than humans as well, okay? Or they possess human level intelligence where they want to, you know, kind of conquer the world, you know, save the humans or something like that. When we talk about machine learning, it comes to implementation part, okay? So to implement that kind of intelligence, you definitely need a machine learning algorithm which can do the task for you, and then you know, make AI systems, because without that, definitely AI systems wouldn't exist, or they would just be, you know, rule-based system which won't be intelligent. Okay. And then deep learning comes in, which gives you, you know, a better way of doing so. By kind of, you know, giving you some neurons and then, you know, messing around with them with weights, biases, and so on and so forth. And then that gives you a little more advancement than the machine learning algorithm, that you are like, okay, deep learning can solve problems which machine learning is not, you know, they are not able to solve. And then comes reinforcement and then so on and so forth. So, you know, if you look at it like that, you definitely would be like, okay, this is AI. And then you're like, when it comes to the implementation part, you're like, okay, this is ML, this is DL, and then you use different terms.
Wow.
Yeah, that's definitely a really great way of putting it. And I like how you described the example of the child and how we as humans think is really similar to the process of machine learning and where that concept really comes from. And I think it's super interesting how we're starting to think about how we can bring machines to this new level, how we can make them more intelligent so they can give back and help us as well. And I love how we've talked about so many things during this podcast about, and Ali, you've talked a lot about the future and innovation and how we can start thinking forward and how we can get into these fields. So to close off this podcast, and I think many students have gained a lot about from this, what would be the first step for students now who want to get into it? What are the first things they can do just right now in their high school careers and just they're taking their first step into machine learning?
Sure. So as I see it, I would, you know, recommend you, again, there are two parts for it. So I won't, you know, generalize it in a way, because what people think is, as a machine learning engineer, they think, you know, you are as an individual and then you become a machine learning engineer. That's not how it happens. So there are two aspects of looking. Either you work as a researcher, okay, who kind of pull in or who does the research and then comes up with new concepts, comes up, tries out the whole algorithms, you know, comes up with betterments, improvements, and so on and so forth. And for that, maths is very important. And, you know, similar concepts of stats are also very important because you are going to kind of, you know, change and optimize and then develop new algorithms, which are going to be used by software engineers in the near future. So if you want to go on the path of being a researcher, then definitely you should, you know, level up your maths. And then after that, you should definitely, you know, level up the core subjects which are required. If you are good at it, then definitely you should go ahead and you should start reading papers, okay, which will give you a perspective of what the industry demands and what is, you know, happening around. There's no single path, you know, as human beings, that is what differentiates us, right? If everyone followed the same path, then there won't be any innovation, okay? It will be same for everyone. So, you know, you need to make your own path. But how do you do that? You look at the industry, you look at the papers, you look at, you know, different aspects of it, you look at the influencers, and then you kind of, you know, draw your own path, and then you build, you choose mentors, and then you go ahead and then you start your research career in that way. If you're a software engineer, then obviously you need to focus on software concepts more than machine learning in your initial days, because your job will be to make sure that the machine learning model is well integrated with your software. Okay, so it doesn't really matter how you can say, you know, good the ML model is, because if it doesn't work with your software, then at the end of the day, it's useless. As a software engineer, as an ML engineer, you need to make sure that, you know, the model which you are developing, it can be integrated. It doesn't have, like, you know, 10 billion parameters or 2 billion parameters. So, you know, it's very way too heavy to implement. It's, you know, costing you a ton of money. As if you want to be the engineer part, you know, I would recommend you to go with the different frameworks available. For example, you can go with TensorFlow, because these frameworks provide you an end-to-end guide and they kind of, you know, help you to deploy your model at scale and at the same time, widely accepted by different people out there who are already doing machine learning.
Awesome. I think that's a great place to wrap up. And I love how you said that everyone has their own path. Even though we might all be exploring a field of machine learning, but everyone really has their own unique journeys. And it's really great to have been able to hear about yours. And this has been really inspiring and helpful. For all those who are listening, one thing that we can leave us off with is that the future just has so much potential and so many possibilities, but it's really about the mark that you want to make on the world and discovering what you really like and what you really want to become. So thank you so much, Ali, again, and this has been such a wonderful podcast and pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Awesome. Well, that concludes our first episode, listeners. So thanks again for tuning in, where we had the great experience of having Mr. Ali Mustafa come on our show and talk about machine learning. Awesome, and goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate the Future podcast. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. you can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.